You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north to Nahariya, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. And boy, are we back here to talk about Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi Tel Aviv playing in Belgrade at the Stark Arena against Baskonia. People wondered what would happen. It was clear from the outset that Maccabi Tel Aviv was going to have no business of playing a second play-in game to have to face Real Madrid, and they absolutely crushed, destroyed, demolished, overwhelmed Baskonia, 113-85. The game, I don't even think, was that close. Lorenzo Brown was just phenomenal, scored in double digits already in the first quarter, finished the game with 29 points, 7-for-8 from three, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Wade Baldwin, 26 points, 4-for-6 from three. Bonzi Colson, 14 points, 11 points, Antonius Cleveland, 10 points, Tamir Blatt, and the list goes on and on and on. James Webb, 8 points, Aziel Rivera, 8 points. It's funny, Josh Nebo, only 4 points, and it was clear that Maccabi was going to be going shooting, and they weren't going to be going inside. They didn't want to have anything to do with the big inside players that Baskonia had, and off they went. I mean, it was just a perfect game plan. They knew exactly what they were going to do. Oded Katash, credit to him, deserves a massive extension after this victory. Ben Pask, of course, writer for the Sports Rabbi website. Happy to have you on board to talk about the win, and we'll talk about all the latest of Israeli basketball news also. Ben, did you see this game coming?
Josh, first, thanks for having me on. Did I see it coming? I did. I didn't know. I was pleasantly surprised. Not the I was, you know, overly pessimistic about it, but with everything that's happened, especially the last, you know, few days that we've had here in Israel, the bit of the balagan with Wade Baldwin and his son's passport, meaning he joined a bit late. They announced before the game that John D wasn't going to take any part in the game. It wasn't feeling good. Boy, it was good to see them, a good four-quarter effort. I didn't feel like, obviously, Baskonia didn't play as well as they could play. And I mean, when you got a player like Howard, who, yeah, just shot horribly, looking now, he made one of a 4-of-8 in the end from three,
but he wasn't, you know, he was 1-for-6.
It wasn't just that.
Ben, I think the Maccabi defense just swarmed him off the bat. I mean, he never got into the game, and it was clear Maccabi won this game from defense, even though they shot really well, and I get all that. They really held them. The 36 points in the first half. Maccabi had over 55 points. I mean, they just, you know, they really, really held them. Defensively, they took care of Howard. I know Cody Miller-McIntyre had 32 points, but was that the quietest 32 points ever, Ben?
I wouldn't say it was quiet. I mean, look, he shot 11 of 13 from 2 of 4, had his 8 rebounds, 7 assists. I think he played very well. He had a PIR of 45, but again, I think that he stepped up and had a career night for him when the team really didn't do much else. And so it's quiet in the sense that they, you know, thumped. They lost by what was the margin in the end. It was 28 points, and like you said, it could have been more. But you know, I think he played well, and you know, he can hold his head high, but they've got a lot of work to do to play against either Anadolu Efes or Virtus Bologna later this week. And we'll maybe by the end of the show, we'll know the result of that one.
Yeah. You know, as we record, It's right now Bologna 58, Efes 57, 5:29 left in the fourth quarter. One of those teams, the loser, will be eliminated from the EuroLeague playoff contention. The other will have to travel to Basconia for a Friday night date. Listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv was just spectacular, Ben. There was I'll say this. They interviewed Lorenzo Brown after the last league win, and he said, "You know what? I'm finally feeling well. I finally feel healthy. I feel good." We haven't heard him say that all season long, and he had a very good game in the league, and boy, he comes out shooting lights out, two straight, triples, and you could see he was just fine. This is the Lorenzo Brown that we've waited all season to see. I mean, he's played injured. There had been issues all year, of course, having to play on the road due to the war. And we're not even going to go into what – we haven't even mentioned, you kind of alluded to what happened on Saturday night here in Israel when we had an air show from Iran that came in with over 300 missiles and drones that they decided to send here. So we all had – the entire country had a very wonderful Motzei Shabbat into Sunday morning. And it was also interesting that Wade Baldwin in his post-game comments spoke about the IDF and the air defense system, and was very thankful for that.
The first thing that Oded spoke, Zoe spoke, and then he spoke. And first thing, the interviewer said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "First, had a crazy 48 hours, but I want to thank the state of Israel and the defense system for protecting us and the players." And not only that, but seeing that, and also seeing the way the players are together, like. It's just, it could have gone the other way this season with everything that's happened.
And no one would have said that.
Exactly. And it's just, it's amazing. And I think it's the reason why he's one of the best players in Europe. And he can be frustrating at times when he has a lapse in focus and kind of goes off with the referees for different things. But seeing him, Zoe, Bonds, all of them, even the new guys this season, like it's just they're you call them Maccabisti, they put it all on the line for the team, and it's one of the reasons why we love them, and it's one of the reasons why they've gotten through it together this season, because it could have gone like we said the other way, but it's amazing to see, and it really gives the fans back home strength, at least emotionally, with everything that's going on. At least we've got the basketball to keep our spirits high, and it's amazing to see.
Of course, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi Josh Halifman and Ben Pask, wrapping up Maccabi Tel Aviv's 113-85 victory over Baskonia that sends them into the playoffs, where they're going to face Panathinaikos. Now, one of the things that we cannot really underestimate is Oded Katash here. Now, Maccabi Tel Aviv, we don't know what they're going to look like next year. Let's be honest. We know there's players under contract. I'd be very surprised to see many of those back if home games are not going to be played in Israel. And even if home games are going to be played in Israel, I'd still be surprised to see many of them back. That being said, Oded Katash deserves a tremendous amount of credit for keeping this team together all season long. He is the maestro. He is the conductor. He is the captain of the ship. Without a question, he has always been a player's coach. I've covered him, for over a decade, as a coach, probably, more than a decade, probably close to 15, 16, 17 years. You'll talk to James Feldon, from when he played with the Bull Jerusalem. He and Oded Katash are the greatest of friends. And Oded is such an amazing people person. He understands the players, and that cannot be underestimated in this whole scheme of things, Ben. The fact that, honestly, to me, he was the one that kept this ship afloat. I think it was him, and he won't take the credit for it. I'm sure quietly he will make sure that, Maccabi Tel Aviv will hopefully give him a proper extension. But it's clear that He's a player's coach. Yes, he's had issues with other players in the past. We all know that. Like, there's been a player here, a player there. You don't have to look that far, into the recent past. Both Jerusalem, and excuse me, and Maccabi Tel Aviv, when the last year's team. But Ben, I mean, where does Oded Kattash, where does he land in this whole scheme of things right here?
I think he definitely deserves an extension. The way that, like you said, he's kept the team together, and seeing the footage of when he went into the rooms after the game, after his press conference, they all crowd around him and, smothered him with love. And that's it's the excitement of a win and getting into playoffs. But that's not, I don't think that's anything that reaction shouldn't be. You just dismissed. I think it's like you said, he's a player's coach, and I think it says a lot about him and the team, the way they're stuck together. There have been a lot of times this season where people have questioned him and his tactics and what he did. Even watching with a friend last week when Maccabi beat Milan, and my friend, a veteran fan, says going off, well, why do you do this? Why do you do that? And Maccabi won despite Kardash, not because of him. So, but I think he's always had and will have questions raised about his tactics and why he does things which people don't understand. But right now, I think he's definitely earned enough to earn an extension getting into playoffs after the year that we've had here in Israel. Is a tremendous achievement. It's a long road to go, a long way to go in the Israeli league. But I think even if Maccabi don't get through to the final four, it's he's earned enough in the Euro League, in the Israeli league now. Maccabi is sitting
16 in a
top of the
row.
table,
16 in a
16 in a
row.
row. They've got the they've secured top spot in after the two rounds of every team playing each other, and developed should have a decent lead going into the next set of games in the top six. So it's a long way to go still, and the people will be have different opinions if Maccabi don't get up and win the championship. And I mean, imagine if they lose to Hapoel Tel Aviv in the championship.
No, I don't see
I don't
that
think
happening right
people.
now. We'll get to the Israeli league, but these teams look shot. Most of these Israeli teams, they look shot.
Yeah.
They just like
No, de
they just want to close the
definitely.
shop. We'll get to that soon. Let's take a look, Ben, at Panathinaikos. A little preview here. Now, Maccabi Tel Aviv, played Panathinaikos twice this season and beat them both times. One in Oaka. John DiBartolomeo was tremendous in a game that went to overtime that shouldn't have gone to overtime, and they won. They won anyways. The other game was a game that the sports rabbi was at in Belgrade at the Pionier Arena, where Maccabi Tel Aviv just slaughtered Panathinaikos. It was never close. Now, one of the reasons why they were so good in that game was because two point guards weren't playing in Kostas Tsiloukas and Luka Vildoza. Now, when you don't have your two point guards playing, it's kind of difficult to manage the game. And I remember afterwards we were sitting with Ergin Ataman, the head coach, who of course won a number of EuroLeague championships with Anadolu Efes, and is a great coach. And he said, like, listen, there's not much to say about this game. I didn't have my point guards, and that's it. I mean, and what are you going to ask? Like, they said, do you have any questions? I was like, no, because that's it was clear as to why they lost the game. They're not, Maccabi cannot go back and look at film from that game and really get much out of it. Kendrick Nunn was incredible. Kendrick Nunn's been, arguably the best newcomer to the EuroLeague this season. I don't know if anybody else even comes close to him. Kendrick Nunn is just incredible. Kostas Tsiloukas, again, when he's out there controlling the game, you're in trouble. Luka Vildoza, who has had his ups and downs with the coach, is still a very good player. You have over there also Marius Grigonis, who comes is a veteran player that knows how to score. Matias Lasort had a very good season. Jerian Grant is injured. We'll have to see what's going to happen with him. Ioannis Papapetru, you know, has not had a very good year, but there's a lot of other players there. If it's, you know, Juancho Hernangones, Konstantinos Mitologu, Kostas Antetokounmpo, and then Alexander Balcerowski. There are, and of course, Panagiotis Kalizakis. So they have some players that can cause all kinds of problems to Maccabi Tel Aviv. Without a question, there is a lot of height on this team. I think you're going to see the need for a player like Roman Sorkin, who did not play today. Neither did Rafi Menko. I was kind of surprised, Ben, that Roman Sorkin did not get any time. Listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv, a place like Oaxaca is going to be sold out. I don't know if you've ever been over there. It's 20,000 seat arena. They have rabid fans. People are smoking in the stands. It is going to be a very, very rough atmosphere for games one and game two. It's going to be very different than Monaco, where you're going from this tiny little arena where they played game one and game two last year, and where half the fans were Maccabi fans, to an arena that's going to have, like, literally almost, you know, you'll have some Maccabi fans there, but when you're talking about a 20,000 seat facility, there'll be maybe, I don't know if you're going to have 500 Maccabi fans. I don't know if you're going to have 1,000 Maccabi fans. Of course, it also falls on, you know, Passover, so there's Seder night's going to be an issue. What do you see with this? You know, what do you see with this series coming up, Ben?
Well, like you say, it's difficult to look at the previous games since that non-contest back in, what was the end of January, in Panathinaikos has gone 9-2, dropping a couple of games, but importantly, significantly beating Barcelona just below them and Real Madrid above them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a completely different thing. I mean, even the beginning of the season, they had a rocky start to the season, a lot of new players in the lineup, but
right,
they've, you know, coming good at the right stage, and they'll need to continue it. But I don't think we can look at the previous contest between the teams, really. And it'll be interesting. I don't know how much the Pesach will have an effect on it. It'll be, what, the first night or second night of Pesach?
Well, it'll be the second night. I mean, what's going to happen is that fans will most probably, I don't know when they're going to travel, but the team will travel already on Monday morning. They will have, you know, they'll practice in Oaxaca. They'll have Seder night in a hotel in Athens. You know, if you're an observant fan, you're going to be, you know, even if you're not, you're probably going to, and if you're there, you're going to be having a Seder somewhere. So that's going to be an interesting mix. This has happened before, by the way, in the playoffs. I remember it, you know, very well.
Even last year, I remember seeing the footage of the players at their Seder. It might have been during the season, but it's a nice image seeing all the players get together and have a Seder together.
Yeah. I wonder what Lorenzo and Wade are going to think of matzah the day before the game, but I'm sure they'll be able to find bread if they need it. So I'm not so worried about them. But it should be an interesting little mix to that. And you have the game two, which will start about an hour and a change after the holiday ends here. Also, the game one will start also after the holiday ends in Athens. And then game two will be on Thursday night in Oaxaca. And then the following week, they haven't announced yet when the games will be, but I can tell you they'll probably be scheduled for Tuesday and Thursday, because those will be quote-unquote home games for Maccabi, which will take place in the Stark Arena. Now, those two games, Tuesday, of course, is the first day. It will be Easter Chag, so it's still the second day of the holiday for people outside of Israel. But, you know, Israelis, that the holiday will be done, which will also be kind of interesting. If you're observant, you're going to have some bread, you're going to have some chametz issues. if you're observant, you're basically, your only option in Belgrade is, you know, Chabad, and there's a local synagogue, but they're going to be keeping 2 days of the holiday because they're outside of Israel. So And they're going to still be eating Pesach food, Passover. So if anybody really wants to get a deep into this, you know, message me or message Ben, and we can have a good time with this on Twitter. But, you know, definitely going to be, you know, a little bit of, it'll be interesting. And I'm sure we'll have some kind of presence at these games coming up as well. We're
I
looking.
think the important thing, Josh, though, is that with the win tonight, Maccabi's avoided Real Madrid, a team that Maccabi's
That's
had tr
clear. That's
real
clear.
trouble
I
with.
mean, anybody that gets Real Madrid is in trouble. I mean, it's they're a tough. I mean, they're the best team in the league. I mean, they're by far the best team in the league. There's no question. They're head and shoulders. I've seen them play. I saw them live. They are a very well-oiled machine. Now, the one thing that Maccabi, and this is they have something similar to Real Madrid, which Panathinaikos doesn't have, is that Maccabi, as a core, is in their second year. Real Madrid has also, as a core, been together for many years. Panathinaikos does not have that. And if you're looking at something that could be a positive for Maccabi in this series, is that A, they have the players know how they've been together for 2 seasons. They went through a tough playoff series last year. So they're going to have that experience. I think that is worth a lot, a tremendous amount, Ben, when you're going
Definitely.
into a big quarterfinal playoff series here. And I don't know where we are with picking teams right now, but if you had to pick who's going to win the series right now, and we'll probably speak, again closer to the series, but on face value right now, who are you picking to win the series?
It's hard to pick against the home team, the team with the home advantage here. As much as I'd love to see Maccabi win it, you got to go with Panathinaikos. Right now, even
Okay.
with everything that we've said, that right now at this moment, I have to say, like, I'm being realistic, I'm going for Panathinaikos.
So I'm going to go for Maccabi in five. I think that last series last year, it's going to be tough. I think it will be 2-2. The home teams are going to win, and then game five, Maccabi with the experience from last year will find a way to make it through to the Final Four. And I think Bologna just put the dagger. Oh my goodness. 67-61, 11 and a half seconds left. Looks like Bologna is going to win in Efes. A massive, massive, massive three-pointer by Bologna. Wow. What a shot. What a phenomenal shot. I don't know
I'm
if you
about
saw that,
10,
Ben.
15, 15 seconds behind you, so I just saw
Wow. That
Ljungberg
was Lundberg.
pull up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What a winner
That's
shot. Woof.
huge, huge.
Wow.
I mean,
And you see some of the FS fans just turning away, and the coaches now, and the timeout, and
well, if everyone listening or to us, I don't know. It's, I mean, it's FS home game.
the
Play in the winner of this game, which looks
play-in
like it'll be Bologna playing away on Friday night at Bascogne, which should
game,
be a great game as well.
Wow. That was, whew,
Yes.
what a shot. Wow. All right, let's take a look here. Of course, we're on with the Sports Rabbi Josh Allen, past wrapping up Maccabi Tel Aviv's 113-85 win over Panathinaikos. Let's take a look at the Israeli Basketball League right now, Ben. Let's talk about, there's been so many comings and goings in the league. I don't know how many players have gone through the doors, how many foreigners have seen the court this year. I'm looking at Maccabi Ramat Gan's roster, and I see this guy. So I'm like, when did they sign this dude? Like, I'm looking at, like, I'm like, look, I said, where did this guy come from? And where did that guy come from? Let's go through some of these games. 94-81 winners, Maccabi Ramat Gan over Hapoel Tel Aviv home game, quote unquote, that took place in Beersheba due to a radius, due to a punishment that was levied on the team for violence and all that other good stuff. This guy, Noni Umat, I don't know where he came from, but he scored 17 points. He did come from China. Mangok Mathiang with 14 points, 13 points, Kendall McCollum, 12 points, Itay Moskowitz. Hapoel Tel Aviv is a broken team right now. Danny Franco, of course, was let go over the last couple of weeks. Head coach Mark Lederer is the new coach. He was an assistant. He's interim, basically. I don't see them bringing anybody else in at this point. Kyle Alexander, 14 points, 12 points apiece. Brian Angola, Idan Zalmunson, 11 points. Dusty Hannes, 10. Xavier Munford, but this team is a shot team. I don't know if they're going to be able to get over what has gone on within the franchise and outside of the franchise. Will Cummings, 16 minutes, 2 points. Des Wells, I don't know if he's still, is Des Wells still here? I'm not even sure. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't dressed in about like 3 months. John Holland, 4 points in 15 minutes. Just, they're a disaster. No Jacobin Brown. It's amazing to see how the mighty have fallen, Ben, and how far a team like Hapoel Tel Aviv has sunk since that brutal loss in the Euro Cup. I mean, we saw signs of them cracking. I think going into that game, we knew that there was a good chance that they weren't going to win. But boy, oh boy, has that team just collapsed. And you look at Roma Gun, they keep signing guys as injury replacements. Isaiah Miles, who I saw at the women's final, we should talk about the women's in a couple minutes. I got to see him at the final. He was injured, and they're bringing this guy, Nuno Watt. And they just keep making the right moves. You know, Itai Moskowitz, they bring him in. They bring back Kendall McCollum, who was here and then out. JP Takato's having a great season. Adam Ariel with the big points. And they're right now gunning for second place. And there's no reason to think they're not going to finish the regular season in second place, Ben.
Yeah, they've been, I don't even know if I'd say a surprise. Like, even before the season, they were, I think, predicted to get into, you know, the top six. But to be where they are, it's really a credit to what they've done this season, getting up into the league and not just being content with that, but really making the moves and trying to do what they can to compete. And it's, yeah, I guess this game, looking at Hapoel Tel Aviv on the other side, the quarter breakdowns, it's just like this season. They started off well. They had leading by 1 point at quarter time, at halftime by 2 points, and then 31 to Roma Gun and 19 to Hapoel Tel Aviv in the third quarter just destroyed them, and that was the end of the game pretty much. And it's sad because the first half of the season, they really were keeping everything together with all their injuries. They kept signing new players to come in, and they really, as an organization as well, they looked like they were sticking together. The players looked like they had a good thing going, and then it's just all fallen apart. And especially, well, I'm sure we don't need to get into it, but the fact they're playing home games. Where was it tonight? In
Beersheba,
it's
a disaster. It's a disaster.
It's a disaster. It's really sad for them. I mean, look, they're still sitting second on the table right now. That can change, but it's just sad because as an organization, they really, with the ownership change and everything, really looked like they were, you know, moving up and going to challenge and everything.
But again, you know, it takes time to build these things. The fans also, the club did not take care of the fans, and they know who the problem fans are, and they never took care of them properly, and they're paying the price for that. But they deservedly are paying that price right now. You know, let's call it what it is. They did not take care of the fans. They knew exactly who the problem people are. You know, if they're going to allow those people into the games and ruin the experience for everybody else, they're going to get punished. And they're going to be fined, and that's what happened here. And then this punishment is tough, and it's deserved. I mean, let's just be honest right now. It's a deserved punishment. And, you know, those things happen. The players, you know, perhaps they were weak mentally. Obviously, they were, I mean, not probably, but they were. I mean, you know, in the Euro Cup, the way that they collapsed in that final game. They're listen, Hapoel Tel Aviv, I don't see anything coming from them at this point. I mean, Maccabi Ramat Gan is really the, you know, right now the big threat. I mean, Hapoel Holon, they're, you know, also they look like they're a done team. Hapoel Jerusalem, you have Zach Hankins, who we get a report that he's injured. He's going to have a few days off from practice. And then they put out, well, he actually flew to Cyprus because of the Iranian missiles with his wife. We're giving him some time off. Brinton Lamar today was basically, he went home to be with his wife, who's due. I don't know when she's due. I don't know if it's in a month, 5 months, or whatever it may be. But, you know, he hadn't been playing for Hapoel Jerusalem in a while. I got to see Speedy Smith at the women's final yesterday. He was the only player that did drive out to Ramla. So I spoke to him for a while, gave him a ton of credit for that. It's a good man to do that, to really to get up and go out and support the women of football Jerusalem. But you look at the teams here. Look at the where the teams are. B'nai Herzliya, lost to Hapoel Haifa. Hapoel Haifa is winning games right now. I mean, Kiryat Ata, they're 11-11. Whoever thought they would be one of the most exciting teams? They won an extremely exciting game in overtime over Nes Ciona, who's been a disaster. Apollo Fula, has had its ups and downs this season. Same thing with Eilat, obviously, Be'er Sheva and Galil Elyon. There are reports today that their foreigners, except for James Feldheim, all want to leave the country because of the situation. And, I don't know. I can't see any of these teams being relegated or not. But listen, tough situation. Ben, let's shift over to the women, shall we? Elitsur Ramla, Ben, with a 3-0 sweep of Hapoel of Jerusalem. First game was, I believe, 89-81 for Ramla in a tough game that Jerusalem could have won, but they made mistakes down the stretch. Game two was a one of the best basketball games I've seen this season. 95-94, Elitsur Ramla comes out on top. Edin Rotberg with 33 points was just spectacular. I mean, she in that fourth quarter when they were down, she came out there and was saying, "We ain't going home." With the series tied 1-1, and they end up winning by a point. And then kind of the writing was on the wall going into this game. Game three, I had a feeling it was going to be a poor showing from Jerusalem, and that's what it was. They were just blown out of the water, 84-60 in the final. It was probably could have even been more than that, Ben. Shir Tirosh, they held her to 0 points, and she's the big scorer for Jerusalem. She had, I think, 28, 29 points last game, that 94. 95-94 loss, and they held her to zero. I spoke to Danny Gut after the game, and he basically said, "We won on defense. We knew that we had to shut them down. We couldn't allow them to score points." And it was clear from the get-go who was going to win that game. And spoke to Brianna Richardson afterwards, and she was just saying, that we just didn't come in with any energy, and we can make up excuses with the missiles and this and that, but just. All in all, if you look at the bright side, right? I spoke to Limor Pelag, the head coach, and I told her, I said, first of all, she was named coach of the year, well deserved, for of course winning the state cup over that Ramla team, but also, if you look back, this is the first year that they're in the league, the top league. It's a young team, it's a first year team, a lot of players that kind of never played with each other before. They had a very good year. You can't take that away from Jerusalem, Ben.
Yeah, they did, and I think that people were maybe a bit surprised with how well they did in the earlier games against Ramla. There was a state cup, and then a couple of days later, they beat Ramla in the league, and they got up to about a second spot in the table. And then coming into this series, it was close, but then the third game, they just ran out of gas, and it's a credit to Limor Peleg and her team, the whole organization, that they did so well. But when it comes down to it, the Ramo on paper, I think the whole season has been ahead of the rest. They had that little a bump in the road, those couple of games against Jerusalem, but otherwise, a class outfit and deserved winners. And we'll see what happens going forward. You mentioned Jerusalem, a young team, they haven't played together. One of those, and the women's players do move around a lot. It'll be interesting to see what happens next season. It's a long way away, but who knows what state will be in here and what players they'll be able to attract, who's going to stay, who's going to leave, etc. But right now, it's what, their 13th championship, third in a row, and credit to Ramla and the whole organization for getting the trophy, especially after such a difficult season.
Yeah, hey, listen. You look at Ramla squad, right? They're just so good. I mean, you have star after star after star here. Some games that are going to show up. Some games, some of them just won't. I mean, we saw Daniel Raber was great. Edda Rotberg was great. Jenny Sims with a triple double was great. Jessica Jackson was great. They lost Angela Tompkins to an injury in the first quarter, but they still have other players to just keep going out there. You're Aden Gut, who's been around the Israeli basketball scene for years. And, she comes out and she puts in a couple of threes and plays tight defense. Sila Vaturi had double digits in points. You know, she's going to hit her shots. It was just, you know, one thing after the next there. Ramla is a very good team. It's an excellent club. It's well run. There's a tradition in that city. I think Hapoel Lev Yerushalayim should take some notes on what had brought that team to such high heights. They invested a lot of money. You know, credit to Netta Abu-Ghov, the owner, along with Rebecca Ross. You know, they put together a fantastic squad. You know, obviously the war kind of changed things, but it changed things for everybody. But you know, they have nothing to be ashamed of. The most important thing that they have to do right now over the summer is to try to keep, you know, their core and try to build a culture and build a tradition with, you know, Limor Peleg, I believe, is the head coach. I think she, you know, deserves to continue on without a question, and to build that tradition that can succeed. You know, it was great to be in Malta for game two, and there was no 500 people or whatever it may be, and it was exciting to be there. So, you know, that was good. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed the women's games this year. I went to a ton of them because of the war, and because that, you know, to go into a game at Malta Arena is just great. It's fun to go there, and it's close to my house. And if I get to see some, you know, good solid basketball, I don't care who's playing. So, Ben, hats off to the ladies.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Any final thoughts before we bid you adieu?
No, I think probably the last time we'll speak on air, perhaps before the holiday. So, wish you and your family and to all the listeners a chag sameach, a happy Passover, and
you too.
May we all continue to be you know, protected and safe here, and may we only know good things going forward, and obviously return of the hostages now, bring them home now.
Yeah, we should mention that was Wade Baldwin's. Wade Baldwin didn't speak with the hostages, but he spoke about the Israel defense systems that kept them safe during the Iranian attack here in Israel. Credited the state of Israel and the IDF for that, and that was really nice of him. 67-64 winners Bologna over Efes. They will play Basconia on Friday. Efes, bye-bye, so long, and farewell. And for me, at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you both. Make sure you check us out. Ben, this was great. I want to wish you and yours a happy Passover, and enjoy the holiday.